Hello and welcome to Africa Stories in the 55. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. We have two special guests for you today. First, we had the chance to speak to Burundian writer Roland Ruggiero, the author of Baho. It's the first Burundian novel to be translated into English, and against the backdrop of the current political crisis in the country, Ruggiero tells us he took extra special care to make sure the translation was perfect.
I've been very cautious and very picky with all the translation, trying to be sure that what I was trying to say in Kirundi was really in French or in English. And I'm very happy, especially for the English version, because I had a great work with my translator, Chris Schaefer, and of course with my editor, David Shook. And I'm pretty happy because when I do give the book to English speaker and English readers, they do tell me that they feel that it's another country that they are discovering. And I'm pretty happy about that. The novel itself is about Burundi, and I'm trying to emphasize on something that is quite forgotten when we are trying to understand contemporary Burundi, and especially when we have troubles related to security and political crisis like the one that we are undergoing. And this fact is about the weight of memory. I think that there are so many questions that have been unresolved in the country. Those questions are related to our memory, wounded memories, and those wounded memories had an impact on our daily life, the way that we do see the world, the way that we do understand the good and the bad in the society, and the way that we are managing social cohesion.
In Baho, the action takes place, as you said, not in a major city, but in rural Burundi. The main character, Niamuragi, who is deaf. And the action is regarding an alleged attempted rape. I mean, what was your inspiration here?
My inspiration is my country, is Burundi. And I think that we may not forget that Burundi is at 88% rural. To understand what's going on in the country, we have to focus on what's going on rural areas and what rural population do think, how they do see the world, and how they do understand the challenges that the country is facing.
A lot of what's happening right now, we see it from the view of what's happening in Bujumbura, for instance. There's right outside, or maybe on the border, perhaps. So that's why I was interested to read this book that's totally different, a different perspective.
There's a trap. And this is something which is happened very frequently regarding to African countries. Analysts and especially people trying to understand what's going on are looking mainly at cities, and they try to apply what's going on in cities on rural areas, forgetting that African countries south of Sahara are mainly rural. So what's going on in rural areas, we have to take into account.
The story revolves around what seems to be an alleged attempted rape, but from the perspective of Niamuragi, who is deaf, we kind of get into his head. So, in fact, things are not how they appear outwardly. Is this sort of the allegory related to what's going on right now?
What's going on right now in Burundi is more complicated than the storyline that is being told, because Burundian society is very complex, and it's not only about a question of good and bad people. It's about a question of interest. It's about a question of geostrategic struggles between the West and the East. In the region, it's about the influence of countries like Angola, South Africa, Tanzania, Rwanda, Uganda in the region. We cannot only look at as a linear story. It's more complicated than that. And I think that that kind of allegory that is being applied in Baho can be taken as one to explain what's going on about Burundi. But in fact, also, there are leaves that have been picking out. There are people who are fleeing the country. There are so many difficulties regarding economic and social challenges. And all that makes the situation more complex than it appeared.
But in the book, the villagers basically take the law into their own hands because they want to lynch this deaf man who can't defend himself.
We have seen that from December 2014, I remember three or four cases of people who have been caught by the population have been killed, allegedly that they're trying to set up or they were rebellion. It happened in Bubanza, it happened in Rumonge, it happened in north of the country. And when you look, for example, at Nyamuragi, the rural population at the area that I'm describing, who's trying to kill Nyamuragi, they're trying to kill him because they do believe that he's embodying the bad things that makes the rain not raining, for example. In the area that I'm describing, there is no rain. The people have been waiting for rains for months now, and there's some kind of despair saying there's so much sun, we can get in our harvest, we can get crops. So what's going on? Let's search for the reason of this drought, but also it's a curse from God. When they do hear that there's somebody who's trying to rape a little child, a little girl, they do believe that what they are facing is a curse coming from such bad things happening in their neighborhood. Those bad things happening are coming from example from guys like Nyamuragi. That's why they will kill him. That's also the same thing that is happening right now. People will say, we don't know war upcountry. I've been so many times up country. The first thing that they do ask you, they do, how can you still be living in Bujumbura, for example? Get out from Bujumbura and come live here. Here we are at peace. We don't have guns. We're living in security. So, which is not exactly the same thing in rural areas, and especially in Bujumbura, because there's a high anger and this will of change or political change that some of the people are ready to take up arms.
Up next, we get in-depth with Leslie Nneka-Arima, one of the 2016 Kane Prize finalists you heard on the program last month, for her science fiction story, What It Means When a Man Falls from the Sky. We speak to her on the bus to the award ceremony about her story and having a lesbian female protagonist.
I was less trying to make a point about sorting progression in the future world and just more trying to write a world that reflects our current world. And so that was just such a minor detail in the story purposefully because I didn't want to make a point. That's just who she is.
This is the era of Brexit and the refugee issues. You've said that you wrote this before all of those things came up, but there's a lot that you can get out of this, especially the way you write about the names of that are changing of countries. Countries aren't what they used to be anymore.
I just sort of tried to imagine, what would happen if several continents disappeared. I don't think that, the countries would stay the same. Like, I don't think that if all the Europeans moved to the African continent for reasons of climate change, I don't think that the countries would stay the same. I think that people would try to at least have a reflection of where they came from. I think that's like a sort of a natural thing. I also didn't think that a population that was a former colonial power moving to a nation that was a former colony would necessarily subject themselves to that government. They would want something separate.
Here's Leslie Nneka-Arima reading an excerpt from What It Means When a Man Falls from the Sky.
When the floods started swallowing the British Isles, they'd reached out to Biafra, a plea for help that was answered. Terms were drawn, equitable exchanges of services contracted. But while one hand reached out for help, the other wielded a knife. Once here, the Britons had insisted on their own lands and their own separate government. A compromise, aided by the British threat to deploy biological weapons, resulted in the Biafra-Britannia Alliance, shared lands, shared governments, shared grievances. Her father had only been a boy when it happened, but held bitterly to the idea of Biafran independence, an independence his parents had died for in the late 2030s. He wasn't alone, but most people knew to keep their disagreements to themselves, especially if their daughter was a mathematician, a profession that came with its own set of troubles. And better a mutually beneficial, if unwanted, alliance than what the French had done in Senegal, the Americans in Mexico.
That's it for Africa Stories in the 55. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Thanks for listening. Tune in next month to hear more on the best and brightest in African literature and publishing.